Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome in to The Scoop. UNC's number one recruiting podcast. I'm your host, Ross Martin, joined by Don Callahan. This is a special commitment edition of The Scoop. All right, guys, welcome into Scoop. Appreciate you joining. I'm your host, Ross Martin, joined by Don Callahan. This is presented to you by Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe to the Inside Carolina podcast. And you can also see us on YouTube. We upload all these podcasts to YouTube, so make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel, Inside Carolina's YouTube channel. Don, what's going on, man?
Not too much. Just wish this rain would go away.
All right,
so we have sunny skies over there.
Yeah, that storm last night was crazy. We're recording on Tuesday, a little bit after noon on Tuesday. Big rainstorms in the area on Monday night. Okay, so we recorded a podcast last week previewing the official visits, and we had some conversations about reacting to them as well. I don't know how this is going to go throughout the summer, but I thought it's better to react and discuss the official visits then preview them. I think it's more to talk about. Don had a little bit different opinion, but here we are. And I think it's important to do a podcast because of the commitment. UNC landed a commitment from Joel Starlings, a 6'5", 310-pound defensive lineman. He's ranked number 232 in the nation, number 33 defensive lineman, number 4 in Virginia. He's from Richmond Benedict High School. And I guess it's Joel. Is that correct, Don?
Yeah. Joel.
Yeah. Well, when in basketball, we had Joel James and then Joel Berry. So we had both of them for basketball. So I always go Joel because of Joel Berry, but Joel Starlings. Okay, Don. So first of all, if you get to a little bit of his commitment process, I don't know how much you want to talk about it, but like we kind of ran an early commitment on Sunday morning and then it got pulled. I don't know if you want to give a little bit insight into that, what happened. He eventually committed, 24 hours later, officially on Monday. What was going on there? A little inside baseball there for what happened with that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. There's not really a whole lot to it. You know, Joel had told me the news and then, you know, which is actually probably my fault. I know how things go, but coming that day, there's a lot of stuff going on. He's one of six official visitors. I had a lot going on trying to get these official visitors. And then I had a kid committing and all of that. And there was, you know, I rushed a little bit into things and Joel kind of wanted to do things on his own time. And I fully respect that. And, and a lot of that is reaching out to the other coaches, letting them know first before it gets out there on the airwaves. And then, there's also the process of the graphics being put together, the videos being put together and all that sort of stuff. So he officially announced it on Monday evening around 6 o'clock, but he committed before ending his official visit to North Carolina.
Okay. Yeah. So we sent out it happens occasionally. We sent out a text alert on Sunday. But
I dropped the ball. It's on me.
Move on. I ran on Instagram, on Facebook and Twitter and everything. But yeah, so he ultimately just waited a little bit longer, 36 hours later, committed. So what on his Joel Starlings, and we're gonna get into the official visits later in this podcast, Joel Starlings, what happened the official visit to convince him to commit? Because remember, I asked you last week, are there going to be any commitments? You said no, and there was one. What do you think happened that convinced him to commit?
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, he's a kid from Benedictine High School in Richmond, which is a very academically challenging school, and also has produced a lot of recruits. You know, Chris Collins, who's a senior edge rusher from North Carolina, went there, and UNC's recruited a bunch of other guys, and they've had a lot of big time recruits come out of there. So anyway, so I think for him, North Carolina always kind of fit the profile of what he wanted in his school. And it was just a matter of spending some time there and just, I mean, you know, he kind of got sold, you know, just what he was seeing, enjoyed the atmosphere, enjoyed his time with the coaches, enjoyed his hosts. You know, it just felt, you know, he said right place, right time. You know, a week ago, you know, I mean, his intentions were to take all five of his official visits and actually take his recruitment into the football season, mostly because he was committed to Michigan for a period of time and felt like he rushed into that decision. I was at his high school, I don't know, like a month ago, maybe less. And, you know, he said, hey, I don't want to rush this decision this time. I want to actually take my visit. So, yeah, I mean, in that situation, I mean, these are high school kids. They change their minds all the time. In that situation, yeah, I don't think anyone would fault me for assuming that Starlings would come out of the weekend uncommitted. And I think really, you know, it's a recruitment that I think North Carolina is going to have to continue to treat like an uncommitted guy, just because I think he'll keep it cool for a while, but it wouldn't surprise me if he, you know, once they've kind of finished taking those visits at some point, or maybe he just, I mean, he definitely was solid in his decision on Sunday. And so I don't want anyone to think that he's a soft commit or by any means. Yeah, you tend to look at a kid who's already rushed into one decision. Yep. And when he rushes again, when he had a full schedule, it kind of makes you think a little bit. But, you know, like I said, UNC fit the profile of what he wanted, and perhaps he's done.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I thought, having been in this business for a while, is, you know, when he already has decommitted once and then kind of, you know, spontaneously makes another decision, you just think that is poised for another decommitment down the line. There's a lot of time till December signing day, so it's certainly something to track. You know, his Twitter, he posted the 1,000% committed with, you know, 7 exclamation points. Recruitment shut down. Thanks to everybody who took a chance on me. No interviews be done at this time. So, 1,000%
It's interesting. He did a bunch of interviews. Maybe he did everything
before. Yeah.
What, you know, this is not like you remember the Malik Hornsby situation?
Yep.
So, this is not like that. Like, where Hornsby didn't, UNC was not a fit for him for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah. That was a Tim Brewster.
That was recruit. A Tim Brewster recruit. For Starlings, North Carolina fits for a lot of different reasons. You know, it's very close. Mm-hmm. I've mentioned the academics. I think he fits personality-wise into the campus, into the football program. He, you know, he's what North Carolina wants in a defensive tackle. So this fits for North Carolina. Like, as for Joel.
Seems like his parents enjoyed it. Got what they wanted out of it too, and they're pretty academically focused. I mean, you can't get much better than 1,000% committed.
Yeah, you know, maybe 1,000,000%.
Yeah, you know, 110%, you know, 200%, 1,000%. You know, love it. Okay. Joel Starlings commits to UNC. So the other schools involved was South Carolina. I know we went over the video yesterday. South Carolina.
He had official visit schedule: South Carolina, Virginia, West Virginia. His plan was to take official visits in June to South Carolina, West Virginia, and then also take an unofficial visit to Oklahoma, which was going to lead to a fall official visit to Oklahoma. And he also had a fall official visit. Actually, it was November 19th, so it was very late in the season, scheduled to UVA. UVA is really, I mean, UNC took probably its two top in-state targets from UVA. And there's just, I've talked to a lot of people, there's not a whole lot of buzz, which is super surprising to me, because typically programs that change head coaches get that first year bump, and UVA is just not feeling it, and there's not a whole lot of buzz on that program on the recruiting trail, which is kind of surprising. But I guess the whole coaching hire thing didn't make sense either.
Yeah, yeah. I was actually talking with some friends about that. You know, they didn't fire Bronco Mendenhall. He resigned, stepped down, retired.
Yeah. So
they got the OC from Clemson. I forget his name.
Who is, you know.
What's his name?
What is his name? This is.
Tony Elliott.
Tony Elliott. I knew it was an Elliott.
Quick Google. Okay. This is a big, I mean, how big of a commitment is this? I mean, he is, you know, you can't teach 6'5", 310. He's a kind of a mid-level four-star. It looks like he'll be a top 247 recruit. How big is this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's along the defensive line. You know, we've talked a bunch in prior podcasts about, you know, just the depth, the talented depth North Carolina has built along the defensive line. And so Joel's commitment just continues with that trend. I mean, UNC will have a ton of blue chips in their defensive line room for the next few seasons. And then,
and he seems like a very highly desired, pretty highly ranked guy in their footprint that, you know, two months ago, we may have not seen committing to UNC. And here we are, you know, UNC's gone in and landed a pretty nice player.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is that, I mean, UNC still has a firm hold on Virginia. And I know that, you know, people don't want to give credit to UVA or Virginia Tech, but with them changing head coaches, there's just always the threat that one of them is able to kind of tap into that high school community and generate some momentum in state. And neither one of them really have. So North Carolina has really just, you know, has used the state of Virginia to fill out his recruiting classes the past couple of seasons and landed, you know, two of the top guys already in this class.
Okay. And his game, is he three technique? Is he nose tackle? What do you see? What does he bring? His attributes, his skills, his abilities, his position at UNC.
So I think he could play either. I think right now he looks more like a three technique because he's a high motor kid, you know, constantly moving his hands, constantly moving his arms. You know, when you watch his film, he's overwhelming offensive linemen. Even when they get a hand on him, I mean, he's just constantly going, and allows him to really kind of, penetrate that pocket from the from the middle of the offensive line. But I mean, could he grow into or find a nose tackle position a better fit? I mean, I could definitely see that also because he's a big guy.
There you go. Okay. Joel Starlings commits to UNC. He is the third commitment in the 2023 class following Tad Hudson, the quarterback, and who's the offensive lineman?
Nolan McConnell. Also from Virginia.
Yeah, there you go. Two Virginia prospects in this class. Okay, I want to talk to you quickly about Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about the official visits, the other official visitors to UNC, so stay tuned to that. We'll briefly go through the remaining four or five guys that took official visits to UNC. The first, Johnny T-Shirt, JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Get your Father's Day gifts, T-shirts, sweatshirts, hats. Get Final Four gear, baseball jerseys, football jerseys. Get set for football season, tailgating season. Everything at Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Online. And on Franklin Street, right there on Franklin Street, right by campus, a local company, alumni owned, locally owned. Their warehouse is right there in Hillsboro. So Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. And remember, all Inside Carolina subscribers get 10% off with the 10% discount code. There's tons of premium articles now following all these recruiting visits, and it's just no better time to become a subscriber. You get access to all of Don's VIP articles and weekly scoops, and you get a 10% off Johnny T-Shirt along with tons of other perks. So make sure you check that out. Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. National ads here. We'll come back and talk about UNC's official visits from last weekend.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
And we're back on The Scoop, the number one UNC football recruiting podcast. I'm your host, Ross Martin, joined by Don Callahan. This is presented to you by Johnny T-Shirt and johnnytshirt.com. All right, Don, we're going to run through the official visitors. You talked to four out of the remaining five that visited. We previewed four of them last week. We didn't talk about the two that were added after that. There are articles on InsideCarolina.com and on the Tar Pit pre-message board on most of these guys, so check that out. We're not going to give away all the information here. We're going to briefly go through kind of just kind of an update on how the official visit went, the stats, the recruitment, but make sure to check out the articles. Don talked to four of the remaining five kids, and there's articles up, along with an article by Steve Wilfong and Don's Weekly Scoop. Don, let's start with Joshua Mickens, 6'5", 225-pound edge rusher from Indianapolis, Indiana. What's going on? I made some notes. I read all your articles. I made some notes on here. He said UNC's number one, and the key with him is he's from Indiana, but his family is in North Carolina. He's got tons of families. Mom went to A&T. I think she's from Charlotte, and he's being recruited for the Jack position. Anything to add on Joshua Mickens' recruitment? It's kind of crazy. This guy from Indiana, you know, very favoring UNC right now.
Yeah, and a lot of that has to do with the family connection to the state, particularly with his mother, as you mentioned. You know, he had some really good things to say about his feelings towards North Carolina and how they factor in later into his recruitment. I don't want to give away anything. Definitely read the story for the full scoop. But I mean, he's a guy that if you aren't already, you need to be monitoring for the future, for at least the next couple of weeks to see what he does with the rest of his visits. He doesn't have anything else scheduled, but has tossed around potential official visits with Purdue, Southern Cal. Who else is in there? LSU has been mentioned. Michigan State has been mentioned. So definitely a guy worth monitoring.
Could this be a kind of commitment watch?
I mean, I think the story kind of will answer that question for you.
Okay. And Steve Wilfong, who lives in Indiana, has put in a crystal ball for UNC for Joshua Mickens, which would be crazy. And he has a great, you know, he might be the stereotypical Jack player at 6'5", 225, that fits into what Gene Chizik wants for that spot.
Yeah, and if he does end up committing to North Carolina, we need to have Steve Beck on as a guest.
That'd be a big get. Okay, Joshua Mickens took an official visit to UNC. No more official visits planned at this time. I'm sure there'll be some from the heartland of the United States. All right, next one. Jamal Jarrett, 6'6", 350-pound defensive lineman, defensive tackle from Greensboro, Grimsley, ranked 277 in the nation, a big-time prospect in-state, but also has the notes I took from your article. You know, he has a lot of official visits already scheduled after the UNC official. Georgia is very much in there along with Clemson and Auburn. This was a big visit for his family. What else to add about Jamal Jarrett, who is probably one of the more prominent recruitments that our subscribers and listeners know?
Yeah. So Jarrett to me kind of reminds me of starlings in a way that very impressionable. But I think starlings though is kind of growing tired of the recruiting process, where I don't know if I've seen a recruit enjoy the recruiting process more than Jamal Jarrett. This kid definitely, if we talked about this, I think last podcast, whereas Travis Shaw had his whole plan, he's going to take his recruiting the distance, and then was like, man, this sucks. And so he ended up taking some crucial visits and then making a decision. Jamal Jarrett, he's loving it. He's doing all the interviews. He's taking his family. His family's loving it. I mean, it's a great process to go through. I could definitely see how it would be tiring. But this is a kid who definitely loves the process. And it's going to be, I think, a little bit of a soap opera kind of following him, because he's going to come out of every visit loving it. And that particular school is going to be, it's going to skyrocket in his mind at that moment. So there is a real possibility that we won't know what's going to happen with this kid until later on this year, which is very uncommon nowadays in recruiting.
Yeah, if you followed his social media over the weekend, Twitter and Instagram, it was just videos and him loving it and posting it and teasing a commitment. Didn't he change something in his Twitter bio or something, or Instagram bio at some point?
I got to ask him about that. He actually... This is one of the most fun kids. Like, he'll call me out of nowhere all the time. And it's just random stuff. So
that's funny.
I got to ask him about that. I didn't get a chance to ask him about that. I wondered, he's not the trolling type. So I don't know what there is with that. I don't. I know that there was no commitment this past weekend from him.
Yeah. So definitely a roller coaster. And he's loving it. He's posting on social media, Twitter, Instagram. Videos, all this stuff. But you got to think he'll do that on every official visit. He's got Auburn on June 3rd, Georgia June 10th, and Clemson September 10th. That's into the season. So Clemson gets the in-season home game official visit for the kid out of Grimsley, right down the road, hour away. You know, that plays a factor when you talk about your parents wanting to come to games. So Jamal Jarrett. So
one thing I wanted to add before you jump to the next guy. Cause that's why I was feeling a segue here.
Okay. I have another question though.
Okay. Go ahead. Ask your question.
How many defensive linemen are they taking in this class? Do you know? they already got one. I was just wondering, there's a couple.
Yeah. So I think you're going to see, I hate to throw a number out there, cause then people hold me to it. And then they also were like, oh, that number is too small. Like, I could say they're going to take 100 defensive linemen. Someone's going to post, no way they could take 101. But I think we're looking, you know, four or five ish. I will throw out there.
Okay.
But
go ahead.
The point that I was going to throw out there is one of the news that come out of the story that I posted, which trying to keep the premium content premium, but was the scheduling of the Clemson official visit for September. What did we say it was? September 10th.
10th. Yeah.
That might seem like bad news for North Carolina, but I actually think it's good news. And and here's why. I think that the longer this goes, the better that this is for North Carolina. Georgia's a huge threat. Clemson's a huge threat. There's no doubt about that. I mean, Georgia's a massive threat. Georgia might be the leader right now. If he had to decide right now, he might choose Georgia, even coming off of that North Carolina official visit. But I don't know if Georgia and Clemson are going to, for lack of a better term, play games with this kid for the entire year, or they could fill up and be like, all right, well, we got these other four-star guys. Cause that's what we do, is just land four-star defensive linemen. It's very real possibility. So the Clemson, what I'm trying to make is, a Clemson official visit kind of solidifies the fact that he's going to take this recruitment into the season. And, you know, even though North Carolina has already burned his official visit, it will easily, because he's proven in the past, he's visited North Carolina, he estimates over a dozen times, he's proven the fact that he will return to Chapel Hill. And I think North Carolina will easily be able to get him back for extended visits in the fall.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he probably won't be going to Georgia, but one time, and then he'll return for a home game in September, October to UNC.
Yeah, and even if he goes to Georgia, you're talking about him playing on a Friday night, waking up super early Saturday morning, spending the entire, I mean, it's how far is Atlanta from Georgia?
Well, it's going to Athens,
from Greensboro.
Five or six
hours. I mean, that's a long drive. And then you spend the night, but then you're going to have to leave Sunday. You know, whereas when you go to North Carolina, it's what? Is it an hour? Is it less?
Door to door, an hour.
Okay. So, you know, even if kickoff was noon, you could leave the house at 10, spend the whole day there, spend some of Sunday there, and then go back home. It's just a different, more relaxed experience. And those who travel a lot know there's a huge difference between an hour drive and a 6 hour drive on your body, on your mind, and all, and just feeling comfortable.
Yeah. It's 4 hours and 41 minutes right now from Grimsley High School to Athens, Georgia.
Okay.
There you go. Okay. Jamal Jarrett, certainly a recruitment we will be following a lot in the 2023 cycle. All right. Next one. I'm going to try to pronounce it. Oluwatosin Balabale. Babalady. AKA Big Tree. Oluwatosin. Oluwatosin Babalade. Babalade. That's easy. Last name is Babalade.
Babalade. Yeah.
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 Okay. Offensive tackle from Dematha Catholic High School in Hyattsville, Maryland, 6'5", 296. 549 overall, 48 offensive tackle. Now, he got an Ohio State offer before his official visit to UNC. So his recruitment is blowing up. I read your article about him. Check that out for premium subscribers. But he said he could commit in July or August. Could stem. He's getting a lot of big offers now. So what's going on with him after speaking with him, Don?
Yeah, so the Ohio State offer really kind of muddies the waters here. And I don't know what happens, especially since they're probably going to get an official visit from him. He has such a weird, like, North Carolina, Rutgers, South Carolina, Ohio State. I think Pitt's in there a little bit. Michigan's in there a little bit. Maryland's in there. It's just as to...
That's his geography. He's from the Mid-Atlantic. He's from kind of Big Ten territory kind of now.
Yeah. And I guess Rutgers is the one that really kind of just stands out. But I guess they've been doing pretty well on the recruiting trail.
So how did the official visit go? What were the major takeaways?
Yeah, I mean, it went as well as can be expected. You know, I mean, he had a lot of positive things to say. I'm not going to go detailed for detail or give his exact quotes. But, I mean, he said some things that when you read it will sound pleasing to the UNC fans' ears. Let's say that. But I mean, I think this is, I don't know if this, we see a path here yet of what's going to happen.
Yeah. It seems like his recruitment's heating up and that might extend his recruitment deeper into the summer and into the fall. Okay. Big Tree. Let's move on here. Lewis Carter, linebacker out of Tampa Catholic High School in Tampa, Florida, 6 foot, 200 pounds. Honestly, the highest ranked kid that visited this weekend, number 116 in the nation, number 8 linebacker in the nation, recruited by Tommy Thigpen and has connections also with Gene Chizik. I read your article. His high school coaches were coached by Gene Chizik, I think at Auburn. Or somewhere else.
The first time that Chizik, because Chizik was before he was head coach.
Defensive coordinator.
He was defensive coordinator there.
Gotcha. This seems like a little bit more wide open recruitment. A Florida kid is going to have interest from other schools. What's going on with Lewis Carter?
Yeah. So as you kind of alluded to, I think this race is still kind of being defined. You know, he hasn't really narrowed it down, never came out with a top schools list. You know, North Carolina offered him in February. He quickly established a great relationship with Tommy Thigpen. It made him want to make a visit to North Carolina. Couldn't do the unofficial during the spring. So the first opportunity he had, he took an official visit. He scheduled an official visit. And so this is more about not a kid who's kind of settling with his recruitment and going and kind of finishing this step and then going to the next. This is more about, I need to get to see North Carolina. And so, you know, we don't know what's on play. I talked to a bunch of people, you know, kind of get an idea. You know, the one school he did not mention to me, but there's a bunch of stuff about him with Florida. And apparently it seems like they might be a little bit of a wild card. I think Florida has offered him, but the thing is it seems like there's a little bit of slow playing involved. They're trying to, I guess, see what's going on with some other targets that they probably have ranked higher. But that's, I guess, a potential kind of X factor there. But I mean, yeah, like I said, I think that we don't know exactly who the main competition is here yet in this recruitment.
Okay. Lewis Carter, something to monitor, but it doesn't seem like it's one that's going to happen anytime soon here. Okay. Next one is a guy that you have not talked to yet.
Yes.
You know, Don talked to
him. I talked to him very, very briefly.
Oh.
Supposed to. Yeah. I mean, it was more like, yeah, it went well.
Yeah.
Can we talk later?
Well, let's get his name out there. Let's get his name out there. Laith Ghanem?
I believe so. I know his first name is Laith.
Laith, yeah. And we didn't preview this guy in the last podcast. I think it was him and
Lewis.
And Lewis Carter. We didn't preview. We're added late, and therefore we didn't preview them in the previous podcast. But this is a inside offensive lineman, 6'5", 280, from Charleston, West Virginia. Not ranked in the composite yet. But has offers from UNC, Virginia Tech, West Virginia, Cincinnati, a couple other schools. So anything else you want to add about his recruitment?
Yeah, so the thing with him is that he just started picking up scholarship offers, or I guess serious scholarship offers in April. And North Carolina was part of an unofficial visit tour in, I believe, May. Maybe it was April, where he visited a bunch of Carolina schools. UNC was one of them. Made it back there. George Washington High School in Charleston, West Virginia. Does that ring a bell?
Ryan Switzer.
Yes. So Ryan, for those who don't know, Ryan Switzer's father is a photographer. Specifically, he does a lot of the high school scene there in that area, and lives, I'm assuming, really close to that high school. So he's I think he does almost all of their games. So the two families are pretty close. That gives North Carolina a little bit of an in. But I did ask him about that, and he really strongly downplayed that having any sort of impact on him. You know, the thing about West Virginia, the state doesn't produce a whole lot of big time recruits, but definitely a very, very strong pull, I guess. Maybe pressure is probably a better idea. Pressure to stay in state and play for WVU. And I remember, because I became friends with Ryan's dad, that after Ryan committed to UNC, there was a lot of backlash. There was the belief that some certain awards didn't go Ryan's way because he was going out of state and had turned his back on the home state school. And a lot of other things that kind of went into play with that. So I imagine that Laith is feeling some pressure to kind of stay in state. So you got to watch out for West Virginia with this one.
Do you know the last player to commit to UNC from West Virginia?
Was that, is it Sean Davis? Not Sean Davis. Sean.
Mm-mm.
There was a defensive lineman from West Virginia that committed who decommitted.
I don't remember that one. I was thinking Billy Ross.
Yeah, the one I'm talking about is more recent than Billy Ross.
I don't remember that one at all.
He was committed for like a month. He committed during a June official visit, and then by the end of the summer, God, what was the kid's name? I'm going to have to look that up.
I don't remember that at all. Okay, well, let's get out of here, guys. Quick little pod. Just wanted to make sure we get
Can I plug the weekly scoop?
Yes. So Don just posted a weekly scoop. And I guess it's your chance to kind of explain. I briefly read it before we went on. You're not doing a top 50 this summer.
Yeah.
What is it? The whole thing.
All right. So it's just the top 25 in-state players.
Your rankings of the top 25 players in the state of North Carolina. You usually do a top 50.
Yes. I've been doing a top 50 for ever. Probably since I started Inside Carolina. So we're probably talking about 15 years.
It's something that people in their parents' basement wait every summer for, the top 50. Don Callahan's North Carolina top 50. I mean, how much better could you get than that?
So, yeah, I mean, beyond the top 25, I mean, and we've known this, it was a lot of time. And for you, for Inside Carolina's purposes, did make a lot of sense to spend a lot of time. But typically in the past, there's been a week or two where the recruiting cycle died down enough to where we can kind of throw this all out there. And I had plenty of time beforehand to do all the necessary work to put it together. It just didn't happen this cycle. We talked about different alternatives. We actually talked about delaying it until July because July probably would be a little bit of a lull period. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, we just figured, you know, just cut it to 25, roll with that. That, believe it or not, there are a lot of people who enjoy the fact that I go to 50. And I think some of it is because they like seeing they're in the high school community. Mm-hmm. And they like seeing, okay, this kid's getting some recognition from the school I coach at or the school I coach against or a kid I know from Pop Warner and that sort of thing. So that's where the value is. And then also those sort of kids don't get a whole lot of attention media wise. And so they recognize and they appreciate it.
No, I think it's cool. I think it's cool. I think it makes you kind of the expert on, it shows you're the expert of all North Carolina recruiting, which is, you know, not just UNC stuff. You have a expert view on the whole state in terms of the talent and prospects in the state. So I think it's cool. And you would do it, you would release 10 every week for five mm-hmm. weeks, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot, there was a couple of people who would complain about it. Felt like we were doing clickbait sort of stuff, but in reality, we were just trying to have fun with it. And it's just, I mean, it took me a long time to just write the 25. I mean, it took me all week, you know, working a lot on it. So it's just a lot to kind of do those write-ups, rewatch the film and all that sort of stuff. And, but also just to kind of have fun. And, you know, when we would actually break down the top 10, we would go, I think it was like every 30 minutes release, you know, start from 10 and then release 9 and then all that. And I think what people appreciate it this year, it's a little bit of chalk, but in prior years, you know, my number one didn't always match up with what everybody else's number ones were. And I try to make sure I just thought outside the box with a lot of my decisions. And I almost did this time, but I didn't. You know, I'm not going to reveal who I gave my number one, but it won't be a surprise.
Yeah. All right. So check out Don's weekly scoop this week, the top 25 in the class of in North Carolina class of 2023. Instead of coming out every week, it's going to be right now in the weekly scoop. Check out all the interviews for premium subscribers on all the official visits. There's one with Jamal Jarrett. There's the interview with Joel Starlings after his commitment. There's an analysis article by Ryan Doan, our friend Ryan Doan, along with articles with a couple of the visitors. We appreciate y'all listening to this podcast. Check out Johnny T-shirt and GiantT-shirt.com. And remember to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast. It really helps us. It's really easy. Click the 5-star ranking, leave a comment, review, and then subscribe to Inside Carolina YouTube page. You'll get, when you subscribe and get the alerts, you get, you know, automatically know when we go live and things like that. All right, guys, Don, anything else?
No, I just appreciate your time as always, Ross Martin.
Okay. All right, guys, appreciate it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.